This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Did he? What about the kids? Are they free game as well? I mean, they are adults now. They're not minors. We're talking, I believe, one's 30, the other is 20-something. Apparently, you know, from what we can tell, still live with dad. And seem to kind of are named in many of the civil suits, you know, as being these little monsters, if you will, like as flying monkeys that went around and did whatever he wanted them to do, and then participated in things of their own free will, because it seemed like there was really no rules in the world of Diddy.
I don't know what kind of legal relationships are they allowed to interview, have them testify, not testify or anything. In general, you try to avoid children. I do anyway. And because there's a lot of, I mean, just look at the Alec Murdoch case. Mm-hmm. You know, his son, his father can do no wrong in his eyes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, there's a lot of confirmation bias going on in children's eyes when it comes to their parents, positive, negative. Things are going to be a little off on those. And so I don't think it's an easy area to go down when you start dealing with children. Also, unless the children are extremely willing, like go above and beyond to present themselves to law enforcement as wanting to be a resource, think about how that plays on the jury. Mm-hmm. If the law enforcement compelled children to do something or testify against a parent, it doesn't go well, because in every investigation, especially if someone's claiming they're innocent and not guilty, it's going to go to a jury. And half the time, well, most of the time, what you're doing is you're not just collecting evidence. You're also thinking about how are we going to present this to a jury, that the jury is going to be reasonable and side with the prosecution. And if the prosecution has any semblance of using any kind of strong hand, using children in a negative way against a parent, no matter how monstrous the children can be, remember, defense can kind of paint the picture if they don't put them on the stand necessarily. Children can be helpful. But it's something to be really thought of hard before you start using children, I think, unless they're at an age that's, you know, legally culpable for their actions as well.
And that appears to be what we're looking at with a lot of this. Yeah. I mean, the civil suits name the kids in them, and the civil suits allege that they were involved in sex with minors, the drugs, the guns. I mean, pretty much all the stuff that Diddy was involved in. Diddy, you know, probably a bit more responsible. These are his kids, but they are adults. Is that something where you just look at prosecuting them individually and not necessarily bring them into the fold to tear down dad, if there already is enough to tear down dad without their testimony?
Yeah. So now you have a situation, you know, so we gave the situation where the kids are innocent bystanders of horrendous behavior. Now you have a situation where you have children that are culpable for their own horrendous behavior. And you're in a position where you can really pit the kids against the parents and, you know, testify against them, because it really really depends on how it's presented to them and whether a deal is brokered with the children. Hey, if you cooperate in this, we'll be able to reduce the sentence here if you say this, 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 and this. That's going to be definitely part of it. Who knows what they know? Who knows what they've been part of? Who knows what prosecution is going to offer in a way of that? I think there's still a lot more people that are going to be interviewing to kind of figure this whole legal, it's a legal mess is what is, because it's so complex.
It is. I mean, and it's going to be interesting to see how the prosecution at some point, if charges are brought, when charges are brought, how they want to handle this. If this is going to be broken up into multiple cases about guns and drugs and sex trafficking is three separate things. Is it all going to be rolled into one? I'm curious to see how initially they bring him in and initially bring him down. Is it going to be just on drugs or guns as the sex trafficking investigation spirals out as far as they can possibly get it, just to get him into custody? Because there's clearly
that drugs and guns, you know, just like the case where that horrendous guy killed a little girl. And they got him in on drug charges, even though they got all the child porn on his cell phone.
Adam Montgomery.
You know, they got him behind bars for the drugs, which is quick and easier first, and then they can figure out the rest of the prosecution as they, you know, have time to deal with it, because he's already behind bars. Probably something like that. I'm kind of leaning towards they're probably going to do everyone individually on this because I think because there's so many unhealthy relationships here, when you have unhealthy relationships and the house of cards is crumbling, you're going to have people diming each other out.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot easier, I think, for prosecution to really go at someone if everyone else is going against them. So I think they're going to be doing that.
I would imagine as well, if the government thinks that this is, you know, a pretty horrible thing, and there is, of course, possibilities with any case that they could be found innocent, that they could get off in some way, shape or form, whatever it may be. The more you have against them, the more separate cases, the more charges, the more sentences you have against someone, the more likely it is that they're going to be put away. Even if like the big one falls apart, you still got them on these other charges and they're still going to be put away for those things rather than just rolling it all into one.
And the thing, again, when now let's look at the group of people we're typically dealing with here. We're dealing with people that their entire business is themselves, their celebrity. And so regardless, that's what's taken hit on all of them in this. And so they're all going to be in the best survival mode they possibly can, because the only product and service they're offering the world is their celebrity. And when that's being destroyed, they're going to do all they can to preserve that. So it's a real fascinating thing in the world. So I think it's a little bit different than other people who can kind of retool quickly in life and, and kind of move on. And okay, so today I was, you know, doing this one job, tomorrow I'll do this other one. We're dealing with people here that maybe it's going to be a little more challenging since they've been, this is it.
I mean, the damage has already been done. I mean, it will continue to get worse and worse, I'm sure, as time goes on. But I mean, how much consideration do federal investigators take into a case where somebody is a very high profile individual, a celebrity like Diddy, before they go in and execute a raid like this? I mean, is there any consideration whatsoever? Or is it just simply, look, you're the same as anybody else, we would go after you the same way we would a completely unknown person if we had these allegations against them? Or do they really try to make sure the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, just in case something is off here before we go in and ruin this person's dynasty?
In everything I've ever dealt with and been involved with, it is a bad guy is a bad guy is a bad guy. I know there's things been going on with federal law enforcement and the FBI and everything, that there's been a lot of allegations. I don't know, because I've never been particularly exposed to someone putting their thumb on the scales.
Yeah.
I can see it happening, just like we see in any, that there's imperfections in every system. But in general, no, a bad guy is a bad guy, a bad guy. Now, here is what is different in situations when you're dealing with people of celebrity, dealing with higher profile people. Yes, you're definitely going to make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, even more so because generally people that are of celebrity and notoriety have higher paid lawyers that can do a much better job to make sure you are. So that's the first thing that you're going to make sure. But again, not anything more than you do for anyone else. The thing that becomes a bigger concern, though, in these situations is crowd control. How many people are going to be there? Is there going to be a leak to someone that, so instead of just showing up to someone's house at 5 o'clock in the morning to do a simple search and seizure, you know, that where there's no one home, you knock on the door, you wake people up and the neighbors don't even know what's going on and you're out in the next couple hours. You know, if you showed up to someone's house like this, which is a sprawling mansion with, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 square feet, as opposed to someone else's house, which is 1,200 square feet, or an apartment. How many people are living there? How many people, is there paparazzi already outside waiting because they're already there anyway? So there's a lot of other logistical concerns given those considerations, not necessarily on a legal side and an execution side, but just the whole logistical nightmare of dealing with someone that's got more higher profile.
Yeah, it's going to be continuing to be a crazy circus show to watch as this continues to roll out, without a doubt.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.